On your feet if you want, it's all right. It's not compulsory. You can sit if you feel more comfortable sitting, stand if you prefer to stand. It's okay. It's easy. It's what's in your heart that counts. We are here to praise you.
We are here to praise you. Lift our hearts and sing. We are here to praise you.
We've got a video for you at this point, so I'd like you to sit back and just enjoy the video.
Mm-hmm. Christmas, Lord, you have rescued me, forgiving me. You healed my heart and set me free from sin and death. You brought me alive, you made me whole. Oh, Lord, you have rescued me. You love
quite sure what the significance was of the little guys running down the road there, but I think it's an effective ending. You would recognise that song, I think, from last week, because we introduced it for the first time at Kylie and Josh's request. It was new to us, so we heard it for the first time then, but this week we thought we would actually make use of it in the context of this worship service. We tried to theme these worship services. And for that reason, I've been thinking for a few weeks about what the theme for tonight would be. And to be honest, I hadn't really focused on a theme. But I think having practiced that song and sung it last week, it did make me begin to think that that was the theme for us tonight. So the theme tonight is, are you rescued? So it's a question. And you'll find that, as we sing the songs, and some of them are kind of lighthearted, and some of them you'll remember from a very long time ago, some of them are more recent, but there's nothing that you don't know. So you should be able to have a good sing. When I started to think about this theme of Are You Rescued, I began to think back to my childhood, as you do. And I was thinking about my memories of my childhood. You know how there are certain things that stick in your mind? And it's almost as if they happened yesterday. And one of the things that sticks in my mind, having been brought up in Fraserburgh, the Broch, which is a fishing community, was the absolute dominance of the lifeboat service up there. Because it's maybe less so these days, but in those days, they had a system for alerting the volunteers. They're all volunteers, by the way. They're not paid serving members. They're all volunteers that man the lifeboat. But they would actually summon them from their work or whatever they were doing by sending up a maroon. Maroon's like a firework. It goes up and it makes a big bang in the sky and it makes a big smoky cloud. And you would hear one maroon, if I remember correctly, one maroon meant stand by. So something's happened and you might be called out. A second maroon meant get down here as quick as you can. And I think, to be honest, most volunteers would probably react to the first maroon and would head down. But I can have big memories of hearing the maroons. And actually, if you were able to, you would get on your bike, if you were my age at that time, or you would get in your car, or you would just run from your place of work if you worked around the harbour somewhere to see what was going on. And many people would gather around the area where the lifeboat shed is. And it was a spectacle to see the lifeboat launching down the slipway and into the water. You'll see some photographs of that later on, which might, if you're not familiar with that, realize what it was. But it was a really serious community thing. I'm not going to say a great deal more about that just now. But the point here is that those men that volunteered, it was all men in those days, by the way. There were no lady volunteers, but that might be different now. But in those days, it was all men that volunteered. But they would leave their place of work or whatever they were doing at the time to respond to the call because somebody was in distress. And that was quite significant because they were actually putting themselves at risk. They often were going down that slipway into the middle of a storm. The seas could be very rough. And from the lifeboat shed in Fraserburgh, you can stand, but at least you used to be able to stand on the slipway of the lifeboat shed and look straight out through the harbour opening. So the lifeboat would go down into the water and you would see its propellers turning as it went down the slipway. And when it hit the water, it was away. And very, very powerful engines. And it could go about 30 knots or something like that. Very, very fast boat. So it could go and do its rescue work. So that's the theme for tonight. So with that in mind, we have a song for you. Now, I did say that there were no new songs. Well, this maybe is a slightly new song. Let me just put my headphones on because I forgot to do that earlier on. So we'll teach you the chorus first of all, because the chorus is the main bit for you. And it would be helpful if you could find the rhythm to clap along with us here. Okay. By the way, this is the first time the band have done this. They only learned it. And, so it goes like this. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. You think you can manage that? Right, okay. Just a wee bit about the rhythm, okay? Everybody sing praises to the Lord. So you're clapping on the second beat. So it's one, two. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Sing along. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Okay then, right, now that you know it, let's try and get involved and give us as much support as you can as we sing this. There's a few surprises as we go along, but I don't think they're going to catch you out a great deal. So, James, just to say, you need to get those slides up as we go along here, okay? So don't be too latchy in going to the next slide. You'll see why in a minute. So we're going to sing this twice. Oh, by the way, there's a key change or two. Okay, so we'll go up a key and we'll do that right at the beginning. So we're going to sing the chorus twice and then something else. Okay, are you ready? Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. You should know this. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. I once was lost, my sins are gone, I'm heaven bound. Everybody sing praises to the Lord. Now, there you go. Bet you didn't think you could learn a song that quick, yeah? Now. Sorry. Okay, then. So, that was a new song, but it was an old song as well, because I think you probably recognised a few old songs as we were going along there. Let's just have a wee word of prayer in order to bring ourselves into God's presence formally. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together, to come into your house, to come into this place, to have the opportunity to come into your presence. We know, Heavenly Father, that Jesus said, for just a few people are gathered together, you're here in the midst of us. We just ask you to minister to us as the evening proceeds. Heavenly Father, each song has lyrics and words that maybe have a message, maybe a special message for individuals who are here tonight. We just ask you to communicate that message as we continue throughout the service. We just ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay then, so we have a medley of songs for you. Now again, these are all familiar. Again, I'll say, if you want to stand up, it's okay. If you want to sit down, that's equally acceptable. Okay. This is going back to the kickstart days. I can remember singing this with the kids, and they really enjoyed it. I believe in Jesus. power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. And I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord,
just you.
I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. And I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive.
Is actually one that we did at Pentecost in the park. Only by grace, the Spirit was our theme on that occasion, as I remember. But we sung this song a few times there, so it was new then, but it's old now.
Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavors, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us, you call us to come. Into your presence you call us, but now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who would stand? Thanks to your grace we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, if you mark our transgressions, blood of the Lamb. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavors, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us, you call.
And now a song by popular request, as they say. Anne Brown's been asking for this one for ages, and we haven't used it, so we're using it tonight. Okay. What's going to happen, do you, when things are being done fairly spontaneously and at the last minute sometimes? We're going to have a Bible reading now, so Fiona's going to come to the lectern and share that with us. Thank you.
It's from Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down.
Okay, a familiar story, I think. And of course it has a maritime theme, a bit like our service tonight. I didn't know there was going to be any little kids here tonight. But the next song is actually quite a good one for little kids. You maybe don't know it, but with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm.
With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home, sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home.
Okay, so some people have got the actions. If you look over that way, Linda's doing them. Right, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. Okay, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Right, so you can do that for going home. And then what we usually do is sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home, and so on. Okay, so you can do that if you want. Alrighty? You maybe want to stand up if you're getting to try the accents.
With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go.
We'll try it again.
With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home, sailing, sailing home. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home.
Well done. That was pretty good, Dad. That's such a good pew one, that, isn't it? Because you can do the actions in the pew. Okay, in every circumstance of life.
In every circumstance of life, you are with me, glorious Father. And I have put my trust in you, that I may know the glorious hope to which I'm called. And by thy power that works in me, you raise me up, you set me free. And now in every circumstance I'll prove your love, your joy shall be my strength. Your joy shall be my strength. In every circumstance of life, you are with me, for God's Father. And I have put my trust in you, that I may know the glorious hope to which I'm called. And by the works that work in me, you raise me up and set me free. And now in every circumstance I'll prove your love without a doubt. Your joy shall be my strength. Your joy shall be my strength.
I'm going to take these things out now because I can't hear you at all when they are plugged in. Okay then, so, are you rescued? That's the theme for tonight. I'll take this off just now, actually, because I'm going to speak for a few minutes. Not terribly long. I remember when I was a student teacher, I was taught to look at your pupils' faces, because you can tell if they're beginning to lose interest. He says, it's a bit like watching a barometer. He says, you'll see it going down, and then it go down really fast, and then they've totally lost the plot, and they've no idea. So I'll be watching your faces in case I start boring you. So, coming back to the theme for tonight, Are You Rescued? Well, first of all, I want to talk a little bit more about lifeboats. Now, there are a few slides in the deck that I'd like you to show, James, as we go along here, okay? Maybe you go on to the first slide now. Okay, so, what have we got here? Anybody recognize this view? Sorry? It's actually the Fraserburgh Harbour entrance. A beautiful scene, as you can see. No, don't move on yet. Don't move on yet. Go back. Beautiful scene, that first one. Press the back key, and it'll take you back one. Right, okay. Right, beautiful scene, that. Now, as you can see, look, the water is flat calm. Beautiful. And under normal circumstances, or under normal weather conditions, that's what the harbour breakwater looks like. However, when the weather gets stormy, and as you know, in the northeast of Scotland, we often get stormy weather. Next slide, please. You'll see the sort of weather that we can sometimes have. Now, that's not the worst, I have to say. And to be honest, I did look for a photograph that showed the swell of the waves around the harbour mouth, and that one doesn't illustrate it very effectively. But if you were to understand the setup in Fraserburgh, there's a bay which goes sort of like that. And at one end of it is a place called Cairnbulg. On the other end of it is Fraserburgh. And the Fraserburgh breakwater sticks out more or less at the angle of my hand. Okay? So as the seas are coming in, they're coming in this way. So they punch against the other side of the breakwater, as you can see, and make really big waves. There's a lot of power. If you could harness that power, it would run your electricity for quite a while, I think. However, if you think about it, if the breakwater opening is like that and the seas are coming in this way, the waves are across the front of the harbour opening. Now, actually, that makes the harbour itself quite calm. But it means the bit where you're entering the harbour can be quite treacherous in difficult conditions. Now, of course, ships go to sea, or boats go to sea, in calm conditions usually. If they know there's going to be a storm, they'll stay in port. But by and large, they go out to sea when the weather is predicted to be good. So often, or sometimes, they're stuck out there and they're needing to get in. Next slide, please. This is a photograph of the coxswain of the lifeboat way back in 1991, right? This is a long, long time ago. This was the first lifeboat that was involved in a tragedy. And this guy, coxswain Andrew Noble, he'd been, as you can see, a coxswain for quite a long time, right up till 1991. But the actual lifeboat disaster that I'm going to talk about, first of all, took place in 1919, so we're going back a long, long way. But this was the first really significant lifeboat disaster in Fraserburgh. Now, in that one, the coxswain himself and one other crew member actually died. The lifeboat had gone out to escort ships in, and in particular, there was a boat called the Eminent, which had been trying to get into shore, and they'd gone out to assist that boat. And as a result of that activity, the lifeboat got into difficulty. She actually got washed ashore on the beach at Fraserburgh on that occasion. She was completely turned over by a huge wave. And as I say, two people actually died. Two of the volunteers, remember they're volunteers, they're not paid to do this, were died on that occasion. But then this guy, Andrew Noble, became coxswain, and he was actually involved in the lifeboat all of that time. But that was the first lifeboat in Fraserburgh where there was a significant disaster. So calling that, answering that call of the Maroons is no mean thing. It's not a heroic thing. You're putting your life on the line, and you're putting the livelihood of your families on the line as well. Move on to the next slide, please. Here's a photograph of the second major lifeboat disaster. Now, this one took place just a little bit before I was around, in 1953. Now, that is a lifeboat. That was the lifeboat at the time. The lifeboat had been called out. It was called out to escort boats into the harbour. Remember that situation I was talking about, the angle of the harbour, the breakwater, and the way that, you know, the currents are really difficult. Very hard for a boat to try and get into the harbour without hitting either of the piers. Quite a challenge. So in 1953, again, there was a significant incident. Now you can see that lifeboat, look, is completely wrecked. It ended up on the rocks just beside the beach at Fraserburgh. If you know the geography up there, you've got the pier of the harbour, and the beach is around here, but there's a big area of rocks. And on that occasion, that lifeboat was flipped over, and it was washed straight onto the rocks in hardly any time at all. On that occasion, 6 out of 8 crew died. 6 out of 8 died. They had already escorted all the boats into the harbour. So all the boats got in safely, but the lifeboat floundered. There was another disaster. Next slide, please. This here, this boat that you can see here, is called the Duchess of Kent. Now, this was the lifeboat that I remember from my childhood. And I can remember going to see this lifeboat. You used to be able to, in the summertime, go down to the lifeboat shed, and they would give you a guided tour, and you could put on the life jackets. And all, I mean, for a young boy, this was a real experience. And we would often go and have a look around the lifeboat. However, in 1970, now I at the time would have been about 13 years old, and there were two people in my class at school, a boy called Billy and a girl whose name I can't remember. But Billy was a good pal of mine. And both of their fathers were volunteers on the lifeboat. And on this morning in 1970, there was a boat sent in a Mayday call. It was off Rattray Head. If you know Rattray Head, it's halfway between Peterhead and Fraserburgh. And apparently it was supposed to be about 30 miles off. Apparently it was a little bit less than that. But the lifeboat was called because this boat's power had failed. The boat was called the Opal. So, again, the lifeboat responded. It was in the middle of the night when they went out. And by morning, word was going around Fraserburgh that there had been a disaster. The lifeboat had got to the Opal after fighting through massive seas. And when it got to the Opal, it turned out that the Opal had managed to fix itself. This is 1970, remember. We didn't have mobile phones in those days. You know, communications weren't quite as good as they are now. Can we see the next slide? That's the lifeboat after she had been inverted. Now, to let you understand, this lifeboat was built not to capsize. And to do that, they gave it a really, really heavy keel so that if it went up like this, it would push itself back down because of the weight of the keel. However, if by chance it did actually get fully inverted, it then pushed itself down in the water because of the weight of the keel. Now, that made it really difficult for the guys that were inside to get out, because they're all wearing life jackets. And of course, to get out, you've got to get underwater, and you can't, if you take your life jacket off, you'll get flounder anyway. So I guess they might have thought maybe better stay put and stay inside the lifeboat. One man was thrown clear when the boat was turned over. Can we see the next slide? That was the consequence of that day. Now, and that's not a good photograph. It's the best I could find. But that's the Broadgate in Fraserburgh. If you know Fraserburgh, you'll know the Broadgate. So that's looking down, right down the length of the Broadgate. The old Kirk Parish Church is on the left-hand side, just out of sight to the left here, I think. In fact, no, I think that's actually looking up towards the old Parish Church, which was on the right-hand side at the far end of the picture. Can you see all the people standing? You know how we turn out when a community is badly affected by something. That day, I have no idea how many people were there, but I was in the crowd. I remember it because we were let off school for the day. Couldn't get into the church for the funeral, of course, because on that occasion, there was a crew of 6. Only one survived. 5 lost their life. Now, arguably, they went out they got to the point where they met with the boat that was in distress, but it already got its engines going, so it was all right. Then it was hit by this mammoth wave, and it was turned over. Five people were lost. I think that meant, of course, five widows and about 15 children that were fatherless. Billy and the other girl, whose name I can't remember, I can recall, were really quite upset by this because we were all at school, of course, the day that it happened. And Billy was, all these pals around him, and we were walking around the playground and wondering what was happening and wondering what the news was. And of course, in the afternoon, early afternoon, a knock came to our classroom door, and the girl, whose name I can't remember, was asked to come with the headmaster. Of course, she knew straight away. So that was 1970. Now, I've got a really vivid memory of what happened around that time. Can we move on to the next slide, please? Of course, there was then about 7 or 8 years when there was no lifeboat in Fraserburgh. That photograph there is of a subsequent lifeboat. I think that one was taken, that photograph's taken about 1995. So the lifeboat did return about 1979, and there were lifeboats in Fraserburgh. And of course, they get updated every now and again. It's all done by voluntary donation. People volunteer their money to help this to happen. It's not necessarily a government paid for service. Quite remarkable. But I mean, many, many people have been helped throughout the years by the lifeboat service, and many people have lost their lives. I mean, if you think back of Long Hope and various other lifeboat disasters around the country, you'll know what I mean. Next slide. That's a memorial that was erected for the sake or in memory of all the men that had been lost over the years. If you stood on that platform there and looked over that guy's shoulder, you'd be looking straight out through the harbour opening, because that's the way the lifeboat shed was aligned to point out, and that's where he's looking. Next slide, please. So, there you go. These guys are on call 24/7, and they respond to their maroons. Of course, today it's pagers, so they all carry a pager. And also, they take to the sea when others want to take refuge. Okay, they break out even in the worst of weather. Next slide, please. When there's a distress, the practice is that you make a mayday call, SOS. That's what the guys in the boat would do who are in difficulty. And then the lifeboat comes and tries to effect a rescue. Next slide. However, Peter, when he was in his boat, they were in stormy weather. And I think the disciples were a bit anxious at the time because of the weather. However, they saw a man walking towards them out of the darkness. And it turns out that they thought it was a ghost. It wasn't a ghost, of course. It was actually Jesus. He was walking on the water. And Peter, maybe he was being a bit bravado. I'm not quite sure what his motivation was. But he said, if you're really Jesus, call me to come and walk on the water with you. And of course, he did. He said, well, come with me, come to me. So Peter gets out and starts to walk on the water. Now, of course, we know the story is that as he walked towards Jesus, he began to flounder. Next slide. But of course, Jesus didn't turn his back on him at that point. He actually leant down, we think anyway, and rescued him. He helped him out of the water. Now, why did Peter lose confidence? What happened there? Well, it says that when he saw the storm, when he took his eyes off Jesus and started to look at the waves and so on, he lost his confidence. In fact, he lost his ability to walk in water. So that's something to take away and think about tonight. But coming back to our theme, next slide, please. We need a lifeboat in life, but there is no lifeboat to call in life, actually, is there? But the gospel tells us that, and I'm not going through the whole story, but it links up with what we've been hearing on Sunday mornings here at the moment, the story in Genesis. We know that man came to a point when Adam and Eve fell from the way of truth. They learned the knowledge of good and evil. Then they had a conscience. And then they were embarrassed and they hid themselves. Did God abandon them at that point? What we heard this morning was that certainly he did not. He actually clothed them And he sent them out into the world to have dominion over the earth and so on. Bottom line is, I think, we need Jesus in our life. There's a space in our heart, in our lives, for Jesus. And we need to allow him to occupy that space. Now, of course, we don't need to make a mayday call. Next slide, please. All we need to do is recognize the truth and believe the truth of the gospel story. And I think that says it all. Jesus paid the price. Now, I hope that you've been listening to the songs and listening to the words of the songs tonight, and you can see where we're going with our theme. Next slide, please. Billy Graham had a very, very simple way. About a year and a half ago, I was chatting to a friend who was asking questions about things like salvation and so on. He wasn't sure all about it. And he said to me, he says, you know, Jim, he says, he says, I couldn't possibly be saved or a Christian. And I says, why do you think that? And he said, well, you see, he says, I'm just not a good enough person. He says, if you knew what was in my heart, you'd be dismayed. And I says to him, well, I won't say his name. It was a he. But I said to him, well, I says, I don't need to know what's in your heart. I says, but God knows what's in your heart. And despite that, he's already paid the price. He's already made the ultimate sacrifice for all the sin that's in your life. And all you need to do is accept that. And that's the prayer that Billy Graham would have used at his conventions when people came forward. He'd ask people to pray that prayer. It's all about trust. No need to make a call, because God hears our every moment. Next slide. So, as we move on, we're going to sing a few more songs. This time, we're going to start off with, When I Was Lost, You Came and Rescued Me. So you can see where our theme's going here. Yeah. Okay then. Let's do it. When I was lost, you came and rescued me. Out of me, oh Lord, such love from every shot of you as I could be. Ever done, loved us others and everyone, oh Lord, such grace to qualify me as your own. There is a new song in my mind, there is a new cry.
What we don't deserve, what we can't let, what's the difference?
pumped up this one for a long time.
Overwhelmed by love, deeper than oceans, high as the heavens above, living God, your love has rescued me.
Finish off this set, and then Kelly's going to come and pray for us. But we're going to sing the song that we started in the video at the beginning, which I think you kind of know now. Kind of appropriate, I thought, after the theme of the evening, to be able to sing, "You Rescued Me." I trust we can all do that tonight.
You rescued me and picked me up, a living hope of grace revealed, the life transformed in righteousness. Oh Lord, you have rescued me, forgiving me. You healed my heart and set me free from sin and death. You brought me life, you made me whole.
Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we are rescued every day, rescued from the things that we feel trapped by, the things that we don't do right, the things that we, as we learned this morning, would call sin. But God, every single time we ask the question, are we rescued? The answer is always yes. You have already accomplished the act that saves us. We pray that we live in a way that responds to that grace that you've given us, that we live and act and say things that reflect this grace, that show this grace to other people. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us with this life, with this community, with the ability to worship you on a night like this. May we live into the grace you've given us this day and every day. Amen.
Right, we've got one more song for you, and then I think there's maybe a cup of coffee or something. Is there? Yes, there is. Okay, and a fine piece, hopefully. Okay, so, I Saw the Light. You've heard this before. Okay.
I wandered in darkness, going with my mind. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, I saw the light.
Amen, folks. That's it. I hope you found a message in that, each one of you. If you've got any concerns about your position on this and you need to talk to somebody, talk to Kylie or talk to me. It doesn't matter, but talk to God. Thank you.